Will you pray with me? Oh God, we ask that you would touch us each and allow your Holy Spirit to fill us, that we may open to hear what it is that you have. And oh God, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in our sight, for you are in your sight, oh God, for you are our refuge and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. The scripture that Don read states that in one spirit we are all baptized into one body. Hezekiah Walker sings a song called, I Need You to Survive. And it goes something like this. Can we get the words on the screen? I'm not singing, so don't get excited. I need you, and you need me. We are all a part of God's body. Stand with me, agree with me. We are all a part of God's body. It is his will that every need be supplied. You are important to me. I need you to survive. You are important to me. I need you to survive. I pray for you. You pray for me. I love you. I need you to survive. I won't harm you with words from my mouth. I love you. I need you to survive. It is his will that every need be supplied. You are important to me. I need you to survive. I think that Hezekiah is saying that we are a needy people. We need one another. Now please hear me out before you close your ears to what I'm saying, because many of us don't like to be called needy. We would disagree with that statement. We don't think that we are needy people. We think that we can take care of ourselves and we do not need others to survive. Many say that all that I need, I can provide for myself. But I say to you, we were created to be in community, to be in relationship with God and neighbor. You and I, humanity has changed this idea of our needing one another over many generations. They've changed it by thinking that we can do whatever we want or what is good for me, myself, and I. And we don't need anyone to help us achieve our goals in this life. But I say to you, I need you to survive, and you need me to survive. The scripture from 1 Corinthians 12 would also disagree with you if you're one of those that think you can survive on your own. Thinking that you can do this life alone, you don't need the help of the rest of the body of Christ, would truly indicate that the true body of Christ isn't active in this place. At the beginning of this chapter, 1 Corinthians 12, Paul describes our spiritual gifts that God has endowed upon each of us. And he also invites us to discover and activate those spiritual gifts which God has given us for our spiritual journey. And the scripture that Don read, it is a focus for us today to contemplate the many ways in which our gifts are interconnected, how we are interrelated as a body. In Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s letter written in the Birmingham jail, he describes for us what it means to be interrelated. He quotes, "In a real sense, all life is interrelated. All men and women are caught in an inescapable network of mutuality. tied in a single garment of destiny. What affects one directly affects all indirectly. He says, I can never be what I ought to be until you are what you ought to be. And you can't be what you ought to be until I am what I ought to be. This really describes the interrelated structure of who we are, and it is a true reality. And this is what Paul is saying to the Corinthian church and to us today. We are connected to one another. We need one another to survive. Like it or not, we are a needy people. And I ask you, does Dr. King's definition of interrelatedness describe our church? Is that how we think about our gifts working together? Or does our church and its disciples operate more independently for one another? Paul's purpose for writing the letter to this Corinthian church was because they were having many factions within the church. And our text is focusing on one of the divisions or the disturbances that were going on in the worship context. They were placing hierarchy or superior status on certain gifts and devaluing the other gifts. Paul is emphasizing on the need for a diversity of spiritual gifts. And this diversity emerges from and mirrors the diversity of God's character. The body of Christ is and needs to be diverse. Only with all of our members and our gifts can the body of the church be whole. Only can we be complete. Sir Michael Coster was a great orchestra conductor in the 19th century. It was said that one day he was conducting a rehearsal in which the orchestra had joined a great choir. Midway through the session, the piccolo player stopped playing. It seemed innocent enough to him. After all, who would miss the tiny piccolo amidst all the great mass of instruments blazing away? But suddenly, Sir Michael stopped the entire orchestra and choir. He said, "Stop, stop. Where's the piccolo? What happened to the piccolo?" Well, we ourselves may sometimes feel like that piccolo player, feel that we don't have much to offer, that if we stopped our ministry, no one would notice it anyway. Yet the great conductor, God our Father, notices and needs us to complete his orchestral masterpiece. Whether our talents or gifts is great or small, the performance isn't complete until we do our best with what we have. We are a needy people. We need one another. I need you to survive, and you need me to survive. In the body of Christ, all of us and the gifts that we bring to the church are indeed interrelated. We cannot succeed in our mission in the world by making disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world unless we are working together, truly valuing and depending on the gifts that each disciple offers for the common good of the whole. The Bible does not consist of one member, but of many, the body, which forms one body in Christ. That's what it is, Christ says and Paul says. Just as the body is made up with many parts, so the church is made up of many people with different gifts. Because I do not have the gift of tongues, It cannot be said that I don't belong to the body. I am no less a part of the body. Because I do not have the gift of prophecy, it cannot be said that I do not belong. I am no less a part of the body. And because I do not have the gift of an apostle, it cannot be said that I do not belong. I am no less a part of the body. And if the whole body were apostles, where would the compassion, the encouragement, the giving, the healing, and the justice, the hope, and the love be? In the mission that Christ has called us to, there can be no room for ego belittling or looking down upon the gifts of others. And there can be no room for thinking that one is not worthy because they possess the gift that the world considers of a lesser degree. We are all working together to make and grow disciples, and no task is less important than another. In last week's message, Jeff informed us that we all are part of miracles happening here on earth. We use our many gifts to make these miracles happen. Following are some of the ways that First United Methodist is making miracles happen for others. Our church is involved in many mission opportunities in the community and even beyond the community. Take, for instance, the new mission, the soup kitchen, that we hope will be starting in March. It will require many gifts from the body to make it a success in meeting the needs of the outward community. We have a committee organizing and preparing for the mission to become active. We have also been blessed with an initial contribution to get it started. But many more gifts are needed for the body. Cooks are needed. Table decorations and settings are needed. Preparing the desserts for the meals, the water, tea, and truly people to help clean up. The whole body working together is necessary for this mission to thrive. It is necessary in order for the mission to have vitality and stability. The soup kitchen needs you to survive. Many of the United Methodist women serve at Love, Inc. in many capacities, which requires many different gifts to meet the needs of the community and the organization. The United Methodist women also provided health kits, hygiene kits during the hurricane disaster, and they prepare and do school supply kits that are sent to areas of our nation and our world that have no means to get the supplies that they need. We even invited the entire body of the church to join in making this mission to the world a success. Your gifts are needed to make this mission effective. There are many that serve as mentors at TJR and in other schools in the community, helping students with reading, sharing, encouraging and supporting them, and even at times meeting them for lunch. They offer gifts of love, encouragement, listening, and they are a consistent presence in the students' lives. The church also provides meals for the staff at NAC High School and TJR, and we support them in the outreach to parents and the community. We help provide all that is necessary, and it takes more than one or two individuals to do this. The body with many gifts is required. We also started a new mission to a home for foster girls called Vision Quest. We do ministry with hope, helping other people eat, and they are joining us in our ministry for the soup kitchen, representing the body of Christ. We also have the heart-to-heart chorus that goes out to the nursing homes and sing and bring hope and joy to many's lives. These are only a few of the many things that we do in the community as outreach, carrying God's love, peace, joy, and liberation into all the world. Our gifts are also used within the church. We have leaders serving on many committees in the church, such as worship, trustees, mission, SPRC, church council, evangelism, finance. And don't leave the church staff out. We work within the church. They help work within the church to make it possible for the church to be equipped to offer Christ to the body and to the world. And if we were a single member, where would the body be? No matter how eloquent or not eloquent you may think your pastors are, they cannot be heard by all if the sound technician Ben and Bethany does not ensure the proper operation of the microphone. You would not have a bulletin to follow the flow of the worship service if the administrative assistant and office manager does not prepare and print them and put them out for our use. If it were not for the ushers, you probably wouldn't have a bulletin, for they are standing at the doors to greet you each Sunday. Nor would there be a way to take up the tithes and offerings during the service. And we have those that count the monies. If it were not for the praise team, for the choir, and for the musicians, we would not have the music to usher in the Holy Spirit during worship service. We give thanks for Elsa that she uses her gifts to meet the needs of the children during the children's message time. We are thankful for those that use their gifts to assist in scripture reading and assist them with communion. Jana LaFour is always working to assign scripture readers, and Cheryl Novosad is always making sure that there are flowers to place on the altar every Sunday. And without the altar gifts, where would we be? There would be no altar arrangements or candles to be lit for the worship service, no table for communion, and no water for the baptismal font when we baptize. And praise God, the acolytes bless us with bringing in and carrying out the light of Christ in our worship service. And if it wasn't for the custodial services, you would not have clean sanctuary for worship. And neither would you have coffee to drink while fellowshipping and doing Sunday school time. We also give thanks for our Sunday school teachers and our Bible school study teachers and their assistants. We have those that assist in our children's ministry and our youth ministry, and we right now are blessed with the youth ministry. And we have our faith friends that help with the confirmation classes. And for those that help prepare food for Sunday evening for the middle school youth and the confirmation class. Now, if I left any of you out, give it to my head and not my heart. We also use our gifts to serve abroad. Jeff and the team are serving in Laos and Thailand at this moment. And our church even helps to fund those ministries. We also support missionaries in other parts of the world. There are the many ways that we use our gifts within and outside the walls of the church. We are living out our purpose of being a community that shares its life. Now, I would like for you to take a few minutes and use your imagination with me as we take this neediness survey. If you agree with what statement I say, hold up one finger. And if you disagree, hold up your whole hand. And I ask that we be honest with ourselves with our answers. It is okay to need another person's help. All that I need, I can provide. Don't ask me for help. I'll help when I can. I would come close to death before I consider asking for help. It makes me uncomfortable to ask for help. However you answer, just remember, I need you and you need me. This signed, thoroughly unscientific poll reveals a few possibilities for us to think about. We are uncomfortable when it comes to being vulnerable. We are uncomfortable asking for help, and we don't have extra time to help. When it comes to recognize the interrelated nature of our gifts, we must come to terms with our vulnerability and dependency. We must declare that it is okay to need one another. We are a needy people. I ask that you let this message serve as a reminder for you to know that I need you. Jeff and I cannot do the work of the church alone. When you are what you ought to be, we can then be what we ought to be. And when we are what we ought to be, you can then be what you ought to be. The reality is there are many parts that aren't always functioning in the church. And these parts often don't realize how it hurts the whole body. Now, this is not a sermon about guilt or telling you that you need to do more. No, it's just a reminder for me to say with honesty and love that I need you and you need me, and we need one another. We are a needy people. God has gifted you in ways that God has not gifted me. I need you to show up and share your gifts, because without your gifts, this body would not function in the way God intends it to. This body would not fulfill the call on our lives that God has created us to be in the context of this community. But there is one more piece that I want to leave with you. As we discover and know our gifts and put them in action, Paul says we ought to discover our greater gifts. And that greater gift, he says, choose the more excellent way. And the more excellent way is the way of love. If what you do is not filled with the love of God, then it is of no value to those that you are doing it. So I invite you to join me in considering the more excellent way in all that we do. And that way is truly love. I need you. You need me. We are all a part of God's body. Stand with me. Agree with me. We are all a part of God's body, and it is truly God's will that every need be supplied. You are important to me. I need you to survive. You are important to me. I need you to survive. You are important to me, and I need you to survive. It is truly God's will for us to be one. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and we all say, Amen.